All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we left off when we began our little excursus into the doctrines of revelation, inspiration, and illumination. And now that we're finished with those doctrines, we're going to return to the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, as a introduction and review, turn to 2:14, and that's where we left off. And we'll do a little review first. And remember, we looked at how true wisdom is not found. True wisdom is not found by human reason. And that's 2:6-8. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away." So we don't find wisdom through the rulers of this age, or not of this age. True wisdom requires a wisdom that is different from secular wisdom. And he calls it not of this age. In this age, and he's talking about the age between the two advents, those who control public opinion in our world dominate secular wisdom. Now, these rulers are those individuals who set the standard for what the unbelieving people, who disregard God's revelation, consider as true. Look at chapter 1, for example, in verse 26, verse 21st, in 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made them foolish, the wisdom of the world?" And then in 26, it says, "For I consider your calling, brethren, that they were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble." So the believers down in Corinth, as a general rule, there were exceptions just like now, weren't the mighty people of the age. And the mighty people of the age, the rulers, that is according to the flesh, are the ones who set the standard for what unbelieving people consider as true. So wisdom is not found by human reason. Secondly, true wisdom is not found by the senses. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9, and that's very apparent. 2:9 says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." And in verse 10, it says, "For to us God revealed." So the wisdom, true wisdom, is not found by the senses. It's found by God's revelation. So there are many things that can only be found through God's revelation. So the more we know about God's revelation, the more clearly we see he has designed his plans for humanity for our blessing. As Zurdman puts it in his commentary, these words do not refer to the unknown glories of heaven, as commonly as is supposed, but to the way of salvation which God has prepared by the life and death and resurrection and saving power of Christ. And that's what Paul's been talking about here, hasn't it? Third way we cannot arrive at true wisdom, that is true spiritual wisdom, is by observation and research. Now, I made made it clear that that's spiritual wisdom we're talking about, because we can learn other things by observation and research, but not spiritual wisdom. So then we have to ask ourselves how true wisdom is found. And remember, we looked at this, we first noticed that there were two kinds of revelation. There was objective revelation, and that's truth given in the Bible. And there's subjective revelation, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in making us understand and believe objective revelation. The agent of revelation is the Holy Spirit. If you look at chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, it says, "For to us God revealed." And remember, the "them" isn't there in the original text. So the emphasis of this verse is not what God revealed, but the fact that God revealed. It says, "For to us God revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man?" The agent of revelation is the Holy Spirit, and he's qualified to do that because he is omniscient. It says he searches all things, even the depths of God. So this Spirit that Paul's talking about is vastly different from the Spirit that is the viewpoint or mindset of the world. Unbelievers cannot understand, that is, know, the things of God as believers can, because they have no one who can help them perceive these supernatural things. Now, we better mention that there are a couple of limits of revelation. First, it is confined to the Scripture. You will not find revelation anywhere but in the Scriptures. And second, it is presented in human language. And the problem with that is it's not our language. It's Hebrew and Greek mainly. So there's a bridge we have to cross in order to understand the original text of Scripture, because it wasn't written in our language. So then what's man's response to true wisdom? And that'll take us from 2:14 through the end of this section, 3:4. The response of the perishing we can find in 1:18. In chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." And in 1:18, it tells us the response of the saved. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 2:14 says the same thing. It says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God." And he's designated as a natural man here, an unbeliever. "He does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Now in 2:15, the spiritual believer is designated as he who is spiritual. So let's look at the response of the perishing in 2:14. It says in 2:14 that a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So first, his designation is a natural man. And the Greek word for natural man is psychikos. And psychikos means a living soul. It refers to the natural world as opposed to life in the supernatural world. He is the man who does not have the Holy Spirit residing in him. Look at Jude verse 19. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, and that's our same word, psychikos, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. So the man who does not have the Holy Spirit residing in him is called the natural man. He is worldly-minded, psychikos, or what we would call operating by human viewpoint. Note that believers can operate on human viewpoint. The difference is they have a choice. The unbeliever does not, because he does not have the Holy Spirit. So his problem is that he does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The word accept is the Greek word dekamai. And dekamai means to welcome or take willingly, to be receptive, to indicate approval by conviction, by accepting. This word was commonly used for welcoming a guest. And it can also mean unspiritual. So the unbeliever can understand Scripture, as we said before, to a certain extent, but he does not welcome it. He does not welcome it. He just can't put the whole picture together. And the reason is that he's missing an essential piece of equipment necessary for welcoming the Word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And God's wisdom is spiritually appraised. Appraised is the word anakrino. Anakrino is from a word from the Greek-Roman judicial system. It means to conduct a judicial hearing. Look back at Luke 23, and we'll see this used in that way. Luke 23 and verse 13. 23:13 says, Pilate summoned the chief priest and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him, and that word examined is our same word, anakrino, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. So they made official charges against Jesus and brought him before Pilate and gave their testimony saying that he was a criminal. So if we take it and put it in our spiritual sense, it means without the Holy Spirit, one cannot come to the correct conclusions in the spiritual realm. So if we argue about doctrine to an unbeliever, we are assuming that the problem is in his intellect. Salvation and spirituality are not intellectual issues. They are moral issues. So the result is, to the unbeliever, true wisdom is foolishness to him. It does not fit neatly into human logic. Now, I'll make an observation here, is that Paul's criteria for determining if a person is spiritual is that person's attitude toward the Word of God. And this is diametrically opposed to human viewpoint. Human viewpoint says, does he witness a lot? Does he say, praise the Lord? Does he smoke? Does he drink? Does he dance? Does he go to movies? Can he speak in tongues? or do other charismatic things. Now, that's not what Paul used as a criteria for determining spirituality. Paul used his attitude towards the Word of God. Now, in 2:15 through 3:4, we find the response of the saved. And 2:15 through 16 give us the spiritual believer's response. It says in verse 15, "But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So the person who is indwelt and controlled by the Holy Spirit is what Paul is talking about here. Now the Corinthians were indwelt. Look at verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The Corinthians were indwelt, but they weren't spiritual. If you look back at verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." So the Corinthians were indwelt by the Spirit, but they were not spiritual. The word spiritual is pneumatikos, and pneumatikos refers to the Spirit as the inner life of a person. In Greek, the words ending with ikos denote a characteristic of pertaining to. So a characteristic of or pertaining to. So the spiritual believer is one who is characterized by the Holy Spirit. He can come to the correct conclusion about Scripture. Now he has to work at it, don't get me wrong, it doesn't just happen automatically, but if he works at it, he can put it all together. Now, the all things in verse 15, it says, "But he who is spiritual appraises all things." That is limited in the context to the written word of God, the written word of God. If you look back at verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The spiritual believer then cannot be evaluated by an unbeliever. Have you ever been called crazy or stupid by an unbeliever because you're a believer? Good. That's what should happen. That should be the response of an unbeliever. When the logic is in 2:15 and 16. And in 2:15 and 16 it says, "But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now you can take verse 16 and state it as a syllogism. The major premise is no man can teach the mind of God. The minor premise is we have the mind of Christ in his written word. So the conclusion is that no man can teach us. So in verse 15, the unbeliever and even the carnal Christian cannot understand or make spiritual judgments about the spiritually mature Christian. And if one calls you something bad because you're a believer, well, you have to expect that because that's the normal reaction of an unbeliever because he cannot accept the Word of God. He doesn't have the correct equipment to accept it. So the Holy Spirit, though, knows the mind of God. And what does verse 16 say? But we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can teach the believer through God's Word. Now, if you take this whole class that we've been working on here and put it all together, you can make an application to Corinth. Now, remember, what was Corinth having trouble with in this first section of the book? They were having trouble with divisions. And what is this talking about? Why are the Corinthians forming factions around humans? Because they can't teach anything but God's Word. And if they're all teaching God's Word, there's no reason to form factions around them. So the Corinthians were being unspiritual by making factions around people instead of around God's Word. Now we're going to stop here this morning and we'll pick up next time with verse 17. Father, thank you for your Word, which is living and powerful. In Christ's name, amen.